It is Saturday, September 8th, 2007, 10:06 a.m. on the Central Coast of California. Today on Geek Speak, the week in geek news, media management on your Mac, and in the second half, your questions and comments of technology.
The bandwidth for geekspeak.org is provided by GNI, gnihosting.com.
Welcome to Geek Speak, bridging the gaps between geeks and the rest of humanity. I'm your host, Lyle Troxell. Please keep in mind, the views expressed during Geek Speak are not necessarily those of KUSP. On this episode of Geek Speak, we're covering some interesting geek-related news stories of the week and talking about Macintosh Media Management with Patrick Nugent, a product manager for Roxio. Oh, and we're giving away Popcorn 3, a DVD copy and video conversion tool for the Macintosh. During the second half of the show, I'll welcome you to join our conversation. The phone number, 476-2800, or toll-free, 1-800-655-5877. You can contact us right now. Go to geekspeak.org and click on Contact Us. I'll give out that information again when I invite your participation in about a half an hour. GeekSpeak on KUSP is supported by Santa Cruz Electronics, offering an extensive selection of computer and electronic parts as well as support services. Santa Cruz Electronics is open daily at 2808 Soquel Avenue and online at santacruzelectronics.com. This is Geek Speak. My name is Lyle Troxell. In the air with me are geeks Drew Meyer, product manager at Network Appliance. Good morning, Drew.
Good morning, Lyle.
Ryder Brooks, support engineer at Sun Microsystems.
Howdy.
And Miles Elam, a Slacker geek and student.
Good morning.
Miles, you're buying an iPhone? You bought an iPhone.
I bought an iPhone.
When did you buy it, Miles?
I purchased it online yesterday. It has not yet shipped to me.
Now, basically, it's a phone. And you spent $350 on it. What's wrong with you?
Plus or minus the gift card. So, I mean, it was actually less than...
The $100 gift card that's just come up? Is that what you're talking about?
My girlfriend had a Apple Store
credit card.
Gift card. So
you had money already with them and you used that as well.
Right.
So you bought it at the new lower price.
I bought it at the new lower price, refurbished...
But it's still a $350 phone. I mean, that's a lot of money for a phone.
Right, except that all cell phones are computers when it comes down to it. They all boot up, and whenever you turn on your cell phone, you get the welcome screen. Like, this one is blurring the lines far more than previous ones did. And it allows you basically anywhere to be able to look up items on Google Maps. I'm a geek. It seems to work out well.
Let me ask you, did you take a look at the new BlackBerry before you bought the iPhone?
Yes.
And what do you think of the new BlackBerry?
The thing that's different about the iPhone from just about any other phone that's on the market is that the entire face of it is a touchscreen. So you don't have a dedicated area for buttons. Like, you don't have a scrunched up area on, like, for example, the BlackBerry that's dedicated to a QWERTY keyboard. And as such, it doesn't have to be wide enough to accommodate that. And it just has a touchscreen for that keyboard when you need the keyboard. And in fact, you can turn the iPhone 90 degrees and its accelerometer inside will orient the phone so that it looks in landscape mode. And if you're typing in, the keyboard is larger. So...
I don't know, man.
Most of the time you don't need a keyboard. And me, you know, yes, it's kind of trite, but I want to watch YouTube on my cell phone, and that means you have more screen area for the media that's playing, mm-hmm. rather than dedicated to, for example, the buttons.
All right. And your laptop's still alive?
Yes, my laptop is alive and well.
Did we get a blog post on that? I don't remember.
No.
Oh, it's such a good story.
Yeah, it is.
dead and returned to life.
I got a copy and paste. It's already been written.
Yeah, all right, all right.
Remember, his title's Slacker Geek. So
fair enough. Fair enough.
All right, we've got a great show lined up. We're going to be talking with Roxio about Popcorn 3, DVD copy and video conversion tool for the Macintosh, and which is a pretty applicable considering it also supports the iPhone. And we'll be doing that in a few minutes, but let's go ahead and cover some news stories. Ryder, I'll go ahead and start with you.
Okay. Well, I meant to cover this last week, but this week.
So this is old news?
Well, it's actually been news for about 5 years, and it's ongoing. So Comcast has apparently a policy of suspending customers that exceed an undefined bandwidth limit that they've dictated. It seems to be depends on the neighborhood you're in, depends on what your bandwidth capacity is, what your neighbors are using. As you guys probably all know, you know, Comcast uses kind of a network loop, so people in the same neighborhood have to share the same bandwidth. So whoever's not using it, becomes more available bandwidth for those that are.
There's a single pool of bandwidth that everybody draws from. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
In the neighborhood.
In the neighborhood.
And so now they're going to start capping the big guys?
Well, basically they have an acceptable use policy that's undefined. It's you can consider it fuzzy. And people are getting basically warning letters from Comcast saying you've exceeded your bandwidth limit without saying what it is. And basically say immediately you have to reduce your bandwidth limit. And if you don't, you will be subject to 12-month suspension on your internet account.
Your bandwidth limit meaning stop downloading stuff so much.
Yeah, so much, yeah. But they don't tell you what it is. They don't tell you what you need to reduce it. They don't tell you they don't give you any tools to monitor your bandwidth.
It sounds very much like because it's on that neighborhood loop that it – when people in that neighborhood start complaining, then they look to see who's the biggest offender or offenders, and then...
Well, it's hard to say if it's customers complaining, because I've been, from reports that I've been researching on the internet, this has been going on for 5 years, and it's been, like, multiple people in the same neighborhood getting the same warning letters.
How many other cable providers are there besides Comcast in some of these areas?
Well, there's Comcast, Charter, locally.
There's a Roadrunner service.
So at least there's a choice.
Well,
not for your area, I don't think. I mean, Santa Cruz up until recently had nothing until Comcast provided the option.
Bullies.
Isn't this general concept, though, if I'm not a high-end user, don't use a lot of bandwidth, and I'm in a neighborhood, and four of my neighbors are using all the bandwidth, and I can't do things effectively, I want them to be slowed down and capped and changed.
You do, but you should, the rule issue should be clear. Yeah, it should be clearly defined what your limits are. They should provide utilities that tell you how much you're using, what you have left. It's basically just the unknown aspect to it. Yeah. That's the issue for me.
So you want more transparency?
Absolutely. Yeah. If I'm going to pay X dollars for a guaranteed amount of bandwidth, I should be entitled to that. And if I go over, I should know when. I mean, it's not rocket science to measure this stuff.
And they don't state that you have caps, that you have such amount of data per month. It's, you know, they market it as, you know, high speed, super fast, unlimited downloading. You know,
right. The thing is they've got a technical problem, and the technical problem is they can't give everybody high speed access at the same time.
Right.
So they've got to make some kind of structure there. And as soon as they start capping, then that's what gets the marketing. That's what gets the buzz. So I understand that from that perspective. I wish there was a way for them to. I mean, the warning letter at least gives you a warning, right? I mean,
what are you supposed to do? How do you know how much you went over? How much you didn't go over? When did you go over? What were you doing at the time?
Yeah. Right. There is software for doing what's called traffic shaping.
Yeah.
In other words, throttling certain connections, giving some of those higher priority. But I can see why Comcast wouldn't use traffic shaping, because that, by saying and by just giving someone a letter and saying you must cap it down and then knocking them down, if you put the fear into people, they're probably going to go down far below the limit that you preset. Whereas traffic shaping is always going to be at a certain level and...
Mm-hmm. Who wants to live with fear from your ISP? Good grief, guys.
Well,
tell us what's going on.
And part of what makes it worse is that there's a lot of miscommunication. If you call up customer service, they have no idea what this is about. They in some cases, I've heard reports of people saying customer service says, oh, it sounds like a hoax. Just ignore it.
Wow.
You know, and then next thing you know, their service has been terminated.
All right, let's go on. Thank you very much, Ryder. Let's go on to the new story. Drew.
An interesting little thing just came across my desk the other day. iTunes tagging is now going to be linked in with HD radio tuners. And we had a company called Ibiquity on the show, maybe almost a year ago. That's one of the developers of HD radio technology. So now, when you've you're hearing on a radio, hearing a song on the radio, you can tag it, it'll flag it, and you can later go purchase it directly on iTunes. Pretty slick little integration of radio technology and computing technology.
What radio is this?
High definition radios, HD radios.
So is there a button or something on it?
Well, HD radio gives you all kinds of additional channels as well as information about what's happening transmitted over the airwaves. So you're driving along in the car, you've got an HD radio on your in your dashboard, you can see the tags on the, of the songs, you could save that tag, and it'll somehow translate that back to an iTunes
store
setting.
So is
this only
some of the radios, or is these pretty much all?
You have to have an HD radio to able to be able to do this.
Wow, that's a pretty big deal.
It's pretty interesting. I mean, it's beginning of the convergence that our guest Desmond Fuller was talking about between HD radio and useful applications in the car. Like, say you're on the freeway driving along and you have an HD radio which says, hey, there's a traffic jam. Well, right. Then it can flip over to a screen and show you with Google Maps, for example, where are the places to avoid. All that information is available because the radio knows now in real time what's going on.
What show are you referencing? What Geek Speak show?
Ibiquity was the guest.
Oh,
I don't
Ibiquity. Sure, right. Okay, go geekspeak.org. It's online. As you know, I was looking at the archives online. We've got 300 shows online, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want hours of fun, go to geekspeak.org.
Here's how it works. There's a tag button. You hear a song you like, you push the button. If your iPod is docked, the device is transfer information. The iPod remembers it. The iPod connects to your machine at home, goes to the store, picks up the song.
That's pretty cool.
Pretty slick.
Speaking of Apple news, Miles, you want to cover some Apple news?
Some Apple news besides the iPhone becoming cheaper in price and the iTouch.
Well, one of the things that I was thinking about, the one button kind of thing, one of the other things that Apple released this week is an announcement is that they've got a partnership with Starbucks so that when you have an iPhone or one of the new iPod Touches, Starbucks stores have Wi-Fi for you, and you can see what songs are being played and what the last 10 songs are being played with on your iPhone. So you go into a Starbucks and you see the list of songs, and you can then do a one-click purchase right there. So integration of technology, similar as the HD thing. But
it's a shame I don't drink coffee.
Are you making fun of how fast I'm talking?
No, I'm. I'm making fun of you.
About you don't go into Starbucks. Well, you'll be going to the Starbucks now because you got an iPhone. You have to. They're connected. You're the sellout, man.
It's a gravitational vortex.
I go to local coffee stores. I know. Anyway, what's your news, sir?
My news is that it looks like there is a new top supercomputer in the world. Now, and this top supercomputer, by some estimates, might be up to 10 times faster than the previous number one, the IBM BlueJean. There's one little wrinkle about this, though. It's owned by criminals.
Okay.
Not as opposed to a government or a research institution. It's known as the StormNet, and it's brought up by the Storm Worm, but basically it's everyone's computer. All those folks that don't have, even if they have any virus, sometimes just didn't catch it, or if they didn't update it, you have all of these computers that are being used as zombie PCs. We've talked about this before on the show. And there are so many, some estimates being that it's about 2 million different computers, that the aggregate computing power is greater than the top 10 supercomputers in existence.
How strong is the supercomputer OS, or the virus in this case?
They're not sure. They don't know. They can't exactly go to the people who own this, organized crime on the net, and say, hey, can you tell us what it's like? The best estimates are that it's only operating right now at about 10% capacity. That they aren't really flexing their muscles right now.
Wow. Is there any research grants going out to try to use this network by buying time on it?
The thing is, there's just too much money in online extortion.
Explain online extortion, how that works.
Online extortion would be, let's say you have an offshore gambling setup so that people pay, you play online poker, and then you rake the benefits. Some entity out there may contact you and say, pay us $700,000, just before the Super Bowl comes out, pay us $700,000, or we're going to shut your site down during the Super Bowl so that you can't take bets, or the week before the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea being, if we shut you down, you're going to lose $20 million.
Sure.
So you're going to pay us $700,000. It's like mafia protection money, or it is mafia protection
And this, and we've covered this before on the show. It's still a relatively common act.
Yes, it's a very common act. And there are also a lot of public companies that are getting hit by this, legit or companies within the U.S. that are, you know.
Has a big company like Amazon or something or eBay been hit with one of these, or would we even know?
We don't know. The general thought is yes, but there's no way to know because those companies have a vested interest not to let anyone know that they are under active extortion.
Mm-hmm.
But the bottom line is this is a distributed network. No one really knows who's in control of it. And if they do, they're in countries that don't have either extradition treaties or strong law enforcement to be able to track them down.
And the computers that are being used are everybody's computers.
Right.
All right. So
computers
so
that don't have.
You've given us the kind of scary what's going on, supercomputers, everybody's computer. How do you protect yourself? How do you not become a part of this?
Well, one, just as a background, make sure that you have all of your operating system, like you have Windows Update, have your patches up to date, make sure you have your antivirus, and the antivirus is up to date.
All right.
And then, of course, there's getting a Mac.
An alternative.
Right. Or using Linux, mm-hmm. Something like that. It's not an easy solution. If it were an easy solution, we would have solved it already.
Sure.
But,
all right. Well, that's kind of a cool story. Supercomputers is actually a large network of non-participating or participating but, illegally participating people. It's pretty interesting. Thank you, Miles, very much for that. Next and last news story for today. Drew, you want to handle this?
We gotta talk about this because I work for Network Appliance and Ryder, you work for Sun, right?
All right.
Now, neither of us have any idea what's going on here, but we just got to cover the fact that NetApp has sued Sun for patent infringement, has brought a lawsuit to the courts, and it's been discussed very heavily, very significantly in the blogs of both companies. So if you're interested at all in IP issues, open source issues, proprietary software, NetApp versus Sun, I mean, NetApp is a $2.8 billion company last year. Sun's a $13.8 billion company. I have my own opinions on it, but one of the founders of NetApp has very clearly stated some of the source behind where this lawsuit is coming from on the blog. And Jonathan Schwartz, the CEO at Sun, has responded back. So it's a really interesting discussion, especially with the comments.
Yeah, one of the comments was like, this is kind of just a normal business thing, right? I mean, it's not...
Well, all this stuff takes on such greater meaning when you bring open source to the table. So there was that whole lawsuit with SCO in the last couple of years, which has now basically been settled and dismissed. And Novell has won, but isn't choosing to do anything about it. Some people are claiming that the whole issue at heart, Waffle is the file system that NetApp invented, Write Anywhere File Layout. It's got some patented ideas in it. And Sun developed a separate file system called ZFS, Zettabyte File System, that has some very similar behavior. In fact, some of the documents that Sun has discussing about the design reference the Waffle design. So the Waffle designs are patented. So then ZFS has become open source. So the whole issue is, NetApp's trying to protect its IP from being released to the open source community by a third party, Sun.
Interesting.
Yeah, and it's, you know, not everybody's a fan of the IP system the way it works, but it's the one we have. We've got to live in it, so we should all play by the rules.
So we're not going to get a situation where you guys get to just box it out together?
No.
Some people in the comments have suggested, hey, why don't Dave Hitz and Jonathan Schwartz sit down with two beers and a table and figure this out?
Work it out, man. You know, be friends.
Let's not spend zillions of dollars in lawsuits.
All right. Drew, Ryder, and Miles are the geeks today in the air room. We are now joined by Patrick Nugent. Gosh. Patrick Nugent is a product manager at Firoxio, the leading provider of consumer, professional, and embedded CD and DVD authoring products such as Roxio Toast for Mac and Easy Media Creator for Windows. Patrick, thank you for joining us today.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
So I, for the first time, used popcorn yesterday. And this is the application we're going to be giving away to four lucky GeekSpeak listeners. You just have
giving
to,
away.
We're giving away four copies. Yeah.
Wow.
I know that's not the business you're in, right?
I don't recall that. Did we talk about that?
So you've been with Roxio since Toast 8 came out.
I've actually been Roxio a little bit longer, but very involved in the Toast 8 launch.
And Toast 8, you kind of reskinned to some degree the interface of Toast, which Toast is like the de facto CD burning tool and DVD burning tool for the Macintosh. It's pretty good. I use it. And Popcorn has some similar interface. Are you a big part of that kind of model?
Absolutely. So, you know, you're saying we reskinned it, and from our perspective, what we try to do, you know, we go out, and I'd like to think, you know, we are the standard for burning on the Mac. We go out and we try and get information from people. You know, a lot of people will write to us. They'll email us. We meet them at trade shows. And, you know, what you're saying is a reskin is really was really a lot of people saying, you know, why do I have to click at the top and then click at the side? Let's make it simpler. Let's bring it down to one step.
Okay. And you did.
Exactly.
Right. So Popcorn 3, one of the features that I ran into acquaintance at a party last night, and I was talking about popcorn because I hadn't been using it for a while. And one of the things that's quite amazing about it is that it's got this TiVo plug-in thing. Can you explain that?
Absolutely. So popcorn is really about a few things: DVD copy, video conversion, and TiVo and television. So Roxio is the exclusive provider of TiVo to go for the Mac. What that means is if you purchase popcorn or a Toast product,
or you get it for free on GeekSpeak.
Or you get it for free on GeekSpeak, one of four copies, only by listening today. If you have a TiVo Series 2 DVR, you can actually transfer shows from your DVR to your Mac, watch them on the Mac, burn them to DVD, convert them for a portable device. You know, I was sitting in the airport a couple of weeks ago. I'm watching a television show, and somebody's coming up to me. How are you getting TV?
Now, wait a minute. Isn't TiVo to go available for Windows already?
TiVo to go is absolutely available for Windows.
So this is the TiVo to go substitute for Mac?
This is the TiVo to go solution for the Mac, the only way to transfer shows off of your TiVo onto a Mac.
Very nice.
To watch them, to burn them, to convert them for your iPod, your iPhone.
And basically when you launch the app and you're connected to the same network as your TiVo, you just see a list of all the shows on your TiVo. And you,
exactly.
you can select them and burn them to a DVD or convert them to your iPhone, whatever you want to do with them.
You actually see a list that looks very much like looking at the TiVo. And, I mean, some of the really cool things in popcorn around that are, you know, if you have a show on your TiVo that you want to transfer all of the time, you want to take it on the road all of the time, you can choose the name of a show, and as soon as your TiVo has recorded American Idol, it'll automatically be transferred to your Mac and automatically be converted into a format for your iPod or your BlackBerry or whatever portable device you use.
And then sync next time you sync up.
And cool. Absolutely. We'll add it to iTunes. The next time you plug in your iPod, it's synced and you're ready to go.
All right, so we do have some giveaways. We've got to figure out a good way to test them. I think what we're going to do today for testing our listeners to whether they value the GeekSpeak show enough to get a free copy is we're going to do a little contest. And the question I'm going to ask people is, and you can also ask questions of us if you'd like. Here's the question. Why are Ryder and Drew, why are their companies fighting? And I'm not even going to tell you who they work for, so you have to be paying attention to that. And we got to find out what in the news story that they just covered, what causes them to fight. And, of course, the only people that really should call in about this are Macintosh users, because the application we're giving is a Macintosh application, especially people that have TiVos and a Macintosh, because it really works quite well. But, of course, it does other things as well. The phone numbers, and you're welcome to call in with questions as well as the contest, is 476-2800, toll-free at 1-800-655-5877. Again, that's 476-2800. Or 1-800-655-5877. And yeah. I want to mention that GeekSpeak is supported by Business with Pleasure, a full-service business center in Scotts Valley, offering computer rentals, printing, design, shipping, delivered office supplies, Notary Public, and more. Information online at businesswithpleasure.com. You're listening to GeekSpeak. We're taking your calls with questions and comments of technology. I'll give you those phone numbers in just a second. And, of course, if you'd like a copy of Popcorn 3, give Rick a call right now. He's standing by. And the question is, of course, why are Ryder and Drew's companies fighting?
KUSP co-sponsors The Taste of SLV on Sunday, September 16th in Highlands Park in Ben Lomond. Relax among the redwoods, sample fine food and wine from local producers, and bid on your favorite items in live and silent auctions. This year's auction items include vacations, musicals, and a rare Under the Santa Cruz Boardwalk tour with the Boardwalk president. For more information and tickets, call 336-2857 or visit ccslv.org.
That's the 16th. Where is it located?
September 16th, Highlands Park in Ben Lomond. I want to go just for that tour. That sounds pretty cool.
Yeah, that's cool. Thank you very much for that.
You bet.
The phone numbers to call us with questions and comments of technology. We'll take any calls at GeekSpeak today. 476-2800, toll free at 1-800-655-5877. And we're giving away product today as well. Stay tuned with KUSP for Castle Cottage this morning at 11 a.m. on Central Coast Public Radio KUSP. You listen to GeekSpeak. My name is Lyle Troxell. In the air with me are Drew Meyer, Ryder Brooks, Miles Elam, and our guest today from Roxio, talking about the Macintosh products that Roxio has, Patrick Nugent. And we are talking about Popcorn 3, Toast, and any other products that you'd like to talk about. And you can call us with questions, 476-2800, toll-free at 1-800-655-5877. GeekSpeak on KOSP is supported by CruiseIO, providing local internet services, including DSL, computer care, classes, and website builders. Information about CruiseIO memberships available online at cruiseio.com or by calling 459-6301. We did get a
winner.
A winner?
Yeah.
Oh, one winner? Let's go ahead and
continue. Sure, close enough.
All right. Who was the winner?
The winner was Brian. I'm not sure where he was calling from.
All right, good.
But he answered Brian correctly, saying the conflict between Network Appliance and Sun about copyright infringement.
All right, so now you're getting in the way to answer. We've got to do three more giveaways, so I was going to just stack them all up, but that's okay.
Oh, how
all
boring. Right. We can do better than that. Right, we need some Roxio information.
In a
here.
Minute, Drew, you get to ask the next question. Okay, so Toast. The one thing that gets me about these applications from Roxio about Macintosh is, first off, Macintosh's user base is small. And secondly, you've got movie authoring, DVD creation, and CD and DVD burning built into the operating system effectively. How do you compensate for that, Patrick? Why are you able to sell a product that does similar things to what the operating system does?
You know, our products don't really do a lot of what the operating system does. We really try to go beyond that. I mean, you mentioned our award-winning, you know, Toast 8, and we've won a number of awards, reviews, just because of how simple, how easy, beyond what the operating system offers, it is. If you've ever tried to make a one-to-one disk copy in the operating system, take a disk, make an exact duplicate, there's actually a lot of steps involved, and you bring in the Roxio product, you know, 2-3 clicks, your disk is copying.
Mm-hmm. So that's a big. So basically, you're doing features that are complicated to do and hard to do in the OS.
Features that are complicated to do, difficult to do in the OS or iLife apps, and you know what? We try and extend those. We don't replace iLife. iTunes is an amazing application for managing your audio.
Do you guys work with network attached storage devices and storage outside of the computer quite easily?
It wouldn't matter. As long as it's mounted as a volume on the Mac, You can take those files, add them into a Toast project. If you have a network with other burners, you can actually burn across the network.
And does it integrate with iTunes? Like, can it see your iTunes library and have you just pick up some songs, drop them into Toast, and poof, you're on the way?
Easier than that. You launch Toast, you actually get what we call a media browser. And this media browser is in Popcorn as well, so the new Popcorn 3 that we just announced. You actually see a list of your iTunes playlists.
Oh, very nice.
And just by choosing a playlist, you can drag it into Toast, and you can go ahead and burn it. Now, why would you want to use Toast instead of iTunes? Let's say you want to add a little bit of magic to your song. You want to add crossfades. You want to add effects. You can actually bring the volume down of the first song as it ends and bring the volume up of the next song and overlap them. It's just about making your music sound better, enjoying it just a little bit more.
Wow, that's pretty nice.
What about, one of the things you do, you're talking about copying disks and stuff, what about, like, DVD protected, or DVDs that are protected? Are you cracking those?
Absolutely not. We do not copy any sort of encrypted or copy protected disks, and there are a lot of disks out there like that. So what Popcorn really does is it helps you copy DVDs that are unprotected. So you need to have a DVD video or a video TS folder that's on your hard drive. And we can go ahead, you can copy that to another disk, you can tweak it to remove languages, save a little bit of space on that disk. You know, instead of having to copy it to a dual-layer disk that may cost a couple of dollars, we'll compress it down to fit on, you know, a 25-cent single-layer DVD disk.
All right.
And does it work with Blu-ray and HD DVD?
Does anyone have Blu-ray and HD DVD?
Oh, you know, I'm a good product manager. I don't know that kind of question.
Toast 8, we actually introduced our Blu-ray support, and we were really, really, really excited about this because, you know, now I can do all my automated backups with Toast and, you know, the Deja Vu backup application right out to Blu-ray.
If you have an external Blu-ray device?
In fact, Toast 8 is the only way to burn Blu-ray on the Mac.
Right. Nice. In fact, that's a big thing about Macintosh is when they started migrating to CD and DVD burning capabilities on the products that they had, if you got an external burner, you couldn't use their products, and you still can't really. So you basically have to be using the internal hardware of the Macintosh to be able to use their tools. And I'm assuming that Toast goes above and beyond that.
Now, they've gotten a little bit better in that, but, you know, we were at the front of the line when people had iDVD. They couldn't burn a DVD. There was no way to burn a DVD if they didn't have an Apple SuperDrive. People didn't want to replace their computer. They wanted to go out, you know, spend a couple of $100 on a drive and burn. And Toast is the only way to do that. And, you know, we've sort of been offering things that aren't available elsewhere on the Mac. Moving into Popcorn 3, we've added, you know, a lot of unique, innovative features, things that you don't really find elsewhere to try and make your life a little bit easier when you're copying DVDs, converting video.
So who's the target audience for these kinds of products? I mean, I'm a home user, consumer. I kind of am interested in burning DVDs and projects, but I don't really do it that often, and I don't have an HD DVD or a Blu-ray drive, even though those features are nice. Well, I can get by with my OS, but, you know, tell me what's compelling the value proposition in Toast and Popcorn.
So Popcorn, the first thing I think of, and, you know, as a Mac user, especially as a TiVo user, the first thing I use it for is television.
For TiVo to go thing, right.
Absolutely, TiVo to go. So I find that I don't necessarily watch more TV with this, but with TiVo being able to take it on my iPod, on the iPhone, take it around with me, I find that what I do watch are shows that I was looking forward to. I don't miss what I wanted.
Mm-hmm. So it's just an extension for you. It's a big extension of TiVo.
A huge extension for TiVo.
It provides the missing link for you in your home network between your Mac and your TiVo, which is the whole power of those network devices.
Absolutely.
Are there open source packages that do this?
Like the TiVo
viewing, that interface to TiVo. You say your exclusive relationship with them. Have they made that interface open to some degree so people are able to make open source products that do that?
It is not. I have heard of some third-party apps that claim to do it, but I've never been able to get those to work.
Mm.
We are the exclusive provider in conjunction with TiVo and the only supported solution for TiVo to go.
Okay, so we have three more of these boxes to give away. It's Popcorn 3 by Roxio, it's DVD copying and video conversion for your Macintosh, and Drew gave away the answer to our last thing. So this time we're going to give away three of these packages off of one question, because I want to take people's calls too. Or maybe not. I don't know. What do you think, Drew?
I don't know. Let's see if anybody gets the answer.
Way to go,
questions.
Drew.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
Go.
Well, I pulled the rug out there. I'm so excited about it. Let's say, Miles, let's ask folks if they were paying close attention. What did you pay for your iPhone?
Okay. So what Miles paid for his iPhone.
Yeah, I mean, that's a pretty impressive price.
They have to be a dedicated GeekSpeak listener. They have to, like, listen from the beginning, and they actually have to be listening to us. How insidious.
We're crazy. No one's going to ever know the answer to this.
For that question, yeah, we'll give away one of them for that
question. Am I eligible for that?
No. So were you listening? That's good. If you'd like to call us with questions and comments to technology, or, of course, tell us what Miles paid for his iPhone, give us a call at 476-2800, toll-free at 1-800-655-5877. We're taking any calls you'd like today. The phone numbers are 476-2800, toll-free at 1-800-655-5877. And I urge you, if you don't have a Macintosh or don't have a friend that has a Macintosh, don't call with the thing, because this application won't work for you. But, yeah, we got to get three calls. Rick's real busy. Okay, so let's go on to a little bit more talking about
I got some
about
more questions.
Media manager.
So tell me about professional media managers. If this is designed really as a consumer product, and I'm a, you know, where else do you design and market products for, and what would I use them for?
Our Mac products are primarily consumer based. Now, we get a lot of people who are in corporate environments, but being that Mac is, you know, less pervasive across the board, a lot of these are little clusters within PC centric operations. So, you know, we find that although we originally designed these as consumer applications, you know, simple burning, very easy to use, people are taking these and deploying this same product, you know, across a corporate network or a Mac network in their company. A lot of what we do is about making it easier, you know, easier, faster, offer things that aren't in the Mac OS. Some of the things we've done from a, you know, a business side to make this product still attractive to those people, things like the Blu-ray burning. Right now, definitely more pervasive in a corporate environment. I don't have a Blu-ray burner at home right now.
Mm-hmm.
But in the office, very happy to. Network burning.
So that becomes more of a professional kind of a feature at this point.
Now, you know, I'm hoping that'll change. Prices are going to go down as we move on.
Okay.
Network burning. If you have multiple Macs on your network, maybe only one person. Maybe only Lyle has a Blu-ray burner in the office, and everybody could share his burner.
Let me ask you this. If I've got a project and I want to make, like, 50 copies of, you know, a CD of my sister or something, and I've got friends on the network, can I tell their Toast to burn copies?
Do you have to have a license for every machine?
You would have to have Toast on every machine.
Okay.
So you need Toast to send it and Toast to burn it.
But you could, you can say my machine's available for burning, and then in Toast, any of the other ones on the network, they show up. How's that interface
they
work?
They can see that network's drive.
Yeah, so once you've started, when we call this Toast Anywhere, so anywhere you are on the network, if you've chosen to turn this on and make your burner available, anybody else on your network with Toast or with Popcorn will be able to see that drive and go ahead and instead of burning the project to their drive, they burn the project to your drive.
Neato.
Very, very cool.
So that way your office only has to buy one fancy drive, a couple of licenses, and everyone gets access to it.
Exactly. That is what it's about.
Where do you see all this going in the future as Blu-ray, HD, DVD become more prevalent and TiVo to go becomes more common, more and more TiVos get sold? What's really driving the adoption of CD burning software? Because the OS guys are right on your tail. I mean, you've got a small window of opportunity to add value.
I don't think that's true. I think there's a lot of space that, you know, Apple doesn't go into. One of the things, you know, we talked about earlier, really complementing what Apple's doing. They do a great job, for example, with the iPod and the iPhone, and you can take certain formats of video and convert it. And they left a huge wide space. What if I have a TiVo show, a DivX show? What if I have another video format from somewhere, wherever it came from? That's where our products step in. So wherever the video came from, you can send it anywhere. You're not restricted to formats, resolution. We'll do all of that for you.
That makes sense. So you become the universal monkey wrench, huh?
Right. It's sort of extending. I mean, Apple does an amazing job. Some of the best world-class applications ever. But there is always room to improve and expand upon what they offer you.
Can you make a business out of the Mac market without focusing on PCs as well?
I think we've done that. We've done a great job. We're very successful in Apple retail. We have a great direct business. I mean, we go to shows and people come up to us and say, you know, I love your product, or, you know, I've been using the last 6 versions. I remember when it was 1.0. We have people who have been using Toast, you know, as long as me.
Right on. So even though, so, you know, it's just fascinating to me. This is, it's not, I don't know the retail price, and I don't know if we can say it
on
a public radio station
here.
So, but there are open source applications that are free you can download that do copy CDs or burn CDs for you. But this is defining the market. Who are your real competitors, what kind of a market share do you guys enjoy? Can you say that kind of stuff?
You know, jumping back to Popcorn and Toast, what I can say, we are the leader in this category.
Uh-huh.
Digital media, burning both on Windows and on the Mac.
In both markets. Gotcha. Congratulations.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you very much. You know, one of the ways we do that, I mentioned, you know, we go out to people, we try and get more information. One of the amazing things we've done in Popcorn 3 is, you know, we didn't spend hundreds and thousands of hours in engineering, in development hours, to come up with these great, amazing, complicated features that 3 or 4 people are going to use.
Right.
If you look at this release for us, it's about saving time, a little bit of, you know, a little more freedom. You know, we've added some simple things like batch DVD conversion, something else that I haven't seen anywhere else. So if you have multiple DVDs or multiple video TS folders, you add them into the Popcorn window, you walk away. If you've ever converted video on the Mac, you know that it can take hours and hours depending on what type of Mac you have. So how do you know at the end what that video is going to look like? You may do 2 hours of video encoding, come back and say, you know, I didn't choose the right quality setting. That doesn't look right. So we've added a video quality preview where one click before you spend hours encoding, and in just a few seconds, you'll see a 15-second snippet of...
Yeah, it's a very useful thing. definitely.
Exactly, of what it's going to look like.
You are listening to Geek Speak. My name is Lyle Troxell. We are talking with Patrick Nugent from Roxio about the Macintosh products that Roxio has, about CD and DVD authoring and, of course, or burning, and media management on the Macintosh. The geeks this morning are Ryder Brooks, Drew Meyer, and Miles Elam. We did have a contest. I believe we have enough winners, three winners. I'm going to tell the answer to it. So if we didn't get three winners, we'll have a different contest in a minute. But the answer was that Miles, being a student slacker, not having a job currently right now, spent $350
being on his iPhone. Being a thrifty fellow, I think, is a more appropriate definition.
I think
of
it less as a purchase and more of an investment.
You know the whole... I don't. Technology is never an investment. You know the whole thing, like, I buy you lunch and stuff because you're a student? Yeah, not so much. So,
why not? I'm $350 poorer now.
Can I play with your phone?
Oh, no. Miles is going to be renting time on it.
No, I was thinking along the lines of, this is public radio, man. You can't be saying lascivious stuff like that.
$350.
Yeah, Miles' phone was $350. We will do another contest if we didn't have enough winners. I'm not sure if we actually had three winners or not. We did have a lot of calls, but now's the time for you to call with questions and comments about technology. We can answer anything you'd like. We do have some Windows expertise in the room, some Linux expertise, Macintosh expertise. We definitely have quite a bit of network-attached storage expertise and how to be a slacker. So if you'd like to call us with any questions about technology, anything I've just mentioned, or anything else you can think of, please give us a ring. I think I was the president of my science club in high school, so I can pretty much answer anything you want. I'll probably be wrong. So the phone numbers are 476-2800. Again, 476-2800. Toll-free at 1-800-655-5877. Again, 1-800-655-5877. Oh, we have one more copy to go. So who wants to mention the or come up with the next?
You caught me flat-footed. I got to think.
Okay, well, we think about it a little bit.
Let's take a few calls.
The phone numbers, again, to ask anything you'd like, 476-2800, toll-free at 1-800-655-5877. And we don't currently have any calls.
What's that red light all blinking about?
Well, that's calls coming to Rick, but then he has to check to see if it's a question about like nuclear radiation, in which case we don't want to handle that, and then it comes through. Yeah.
All right, so another question about Mac and toast and burning and all that. I want to call him Ted, but I know that's not right. I'm sure you get that all the time. Patrick, right?
It is Patrick.
All right, sorry. So why do you guys, how many different products do you have, or is there a suite? Like, you look at Adobe and they've made a real success out of putting together all the different applications in one thing for a professional to buy. What's you guys' strategy behind that, and why are you doing it this way?
On the Mac, we have a couple of products. So number one, we have our Toast 8 Titanium, which, you know, really is redefining the burning experience on the Mac. It's, you know, anything you could possibly want to burn, any format, any type of disc, CD, DVD, Blu-ray, video conversion, cross-platform disk spanning. The only application you can back up your files across multiple disks, have the files split, and then restore them on a Mac or PC.
Wow.
You know, Patrick, I'm going to go ahead and start taking calls. We have some people calling in. So we're going to go ahead and go to Santa Cruz with Chris. Welcome to GeekSpeak.
Hello.
Hello, Chris. What's your question today?
I wanted to get an explanation of the advantages of static IPs versus dynamic IPs. Right now I have an individual static line through AT&T, and I was thinking of maybe changing services, and I'm seeing that some services offer one dynamic IP versus five dynamic IPs.
Okay, so you're paying extra for that static IP address right now?
Yeah, well, it appears so. I've had it forever. I was one of their first customers.
Yeah, actually, when DSL was first coming out, everyone had a static IP. It was unusual to have a dynamic at the time. So I can see you being grandfathered in that way. Do you run any web servers from your house?
No.
Any server software?
Are you a gamer?
Not really.
It won't matter to you.
It won't matter.
Do you know what your IP address is?
I have it written down somewhere.
Do you ever share it with people? Do you ever share it with anybody?
You don't have a domain name associated with it or anything?
No.
All these questions are like, if you don't know the answer, then the answer is you don't need a dynamic. You're doing fine.
Don't spend anything extra on a static IP.
Oh, okay.
The whole point to a static... Man, I'm crackling over here. The whole point to a static IP is that it gives you a permanent location that other people and other devices and other services can reference on the internet.
And other viruses?
Yeah, if you're not providing a service that other people want to get to, there's no need to have a static IT.
Right, IP. Think of an IP address like a phone number. If all you're ever making is outbound calls, it doesn't matter if you use a public phone, like where the number is constantly changing.
No one's trying to call you.
Yeah, it's only if someone has to call you for a resource that you would need that static IP.
And the way that our DSL modems work now, pretty much you have an IP, you get a dynamic IP, but the dynamic IP doesn't change for months and months and months. So it's not really that it changes every time you connect. It's a pretty long-going thing. Like, I've had the same IP address for my DSL modem for since I got it, I think.
Right, and if you don't have a real website or something like that on there, then there are services as well called DynDNS is one that I think of off the top of my head that allow you to have the equivalent of a static IP.
All the benefits,
and for free.
So there you go, Chris. Don't pay any extra money for it.
And one last question on this. Like AT&T, when you order their service, they say you get one dynamic IP, and some of the other ones, like Extreme DSL, say for the same price, they give you five dynamic IPs. But if you have one computer, what would be the point?
There is no point.
Okay.
If they're the same price, it makes no difference.
Especially if you have a home gateway kit, because that's only going to use one IP.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
All right, thanks.
Good luck. Good question.
It's funny. I didn't know that you could get all these options for static IPs. And for me, it's kind of appealing. Let's go on.
Yeah, it's an extra 10 or 15 a month or something like that.
We're going to take another call from Monterey in just 1 second. But writer for the last copy of Popcorn 3, Macintosh authoring DVD stuff. What's the question for this next copy?
You're going to put me on the spot.
I'm putting you on the spot. I thought that's why you were waving to me.
No.
You're just waving to me to say hi?
I've got one.
Okay. Miles?
What is the name of the company that was that was limiting people's bandwidth?
Nice.
That we were talking about as a news story earlier.
The name of the internet service provider that was that's taking people offline and not being transparent.
Right.
Okay. And go ahead and tell Rick through chat, through Meepo, which is what we're using for chatting together, what the answer is so that he knows when people call in. And the phone numbers are 476-2800, toll-free at 1-800-655-5877. From Monterey, Dave, welcome to Geek Speak. What's your question today?
Yo, Dave, you with us?
Yeah, Dave.
Yeah,
Dave Anderson here.
Hi, Dave. What's your question?
I use system 10.4 on the Macintosh, and I do a lot of photo music programs. They're slideshows, and I'd like to burn them to a DVD that my friends and relatives who are involved in these slideshows can play on their home video players.
What application are you using for your slideshow creation?
That would be iPhoto.
iPhoto.
And I'm very pleased with it. It'll even make a nice slideshow presentation on the small little, I can't remember the name of it now, but you put it in your pocket.
iPhone or iPod? Yeah,
iPod. Yeah.
Okay. Well, Patrick, how should Dave go around doing this?
Well, one of the new things we actually introduced in our Popcorn 3 product was the ability to fit 4 hours of video on a single-layer DVD. So if you had either toast or popcorn, you could take that video or take that slideshow and simply go ahead, add it to the popcorn window, no matter, you know, how long it was, as long as it's, you know, less than 4 hours,
Patrick,
add a nice menu, use your own background image.
Patrick, how do you know if iPhoto can export to a format that then can be burned to a DVD? Is it, I mean, right now I know that it's just kind of built into the OS. It just kind of displays things using the Quartz engine. Is there a rendering tool that then creates a video file out of that? Do you know, Patrick?
In iPhoto?
Yeah, in iPhoto.
Now, what you'd normally want to do is take that out to another application, such as iMovie, or if you're a Toast user, Motion Pictures HD.
Is that a product by Roxio or somebody else?
Motion Pictures HD is actually part of Toast 8, and what it does is it allows you to create high-def slideshows with your own music and a very simple pan and zoom, you know, the Ken Burns effect, zooming in and out of the photos. Turns your slideshow into a movie. You know, you're watching what was originally photos, and it looks like you're watching a television show.
Okay, here's the thing. It's pretty clear that Dave already spent a lot of time making his iPhoto slideshow. So the question, I guess, is does he have to redo everything? Or no, it looks like you can. Okay, so I just found an Apple tutorial on iPhoto, and it's iPhoto 4, and you can make slideshows or videos out of slideshows. So that's a good thing. So once you have a video file, then you can burn a DVD using, actually you could probably use iDVD, or of course Patrick Nugent would suggest getting popcorn because of course that's their product. So Dave, does that answer your question? Dave, you still with us?
We've blown him away. So incredibly informative.
Well, Dave, thanks for the call. The answer is, yeah, on iPhoto, it's quite easy to export your slideshow as a video. And it's probably under the sharing menu, though I am not exactly sure. We are taking calls with questions and comments of technology. Of course, for the last copy of Popcorn, the question is what ISP is restricting or kicking people off for their bandwidth usage. And we are waiting for technical calls as well, but I think I'm giving a lot of work to Rick today. Rick's here every week dedicating his time to GeekSpeak, answering people's calls and pipe them into the air room. So as we wait for Rick to kind of get through that and hand us, I'm going to mention that next week we have Meebo.com on, and a co-founder of Meebo.com. Meebo.com is a instant messenger web interface, and we're actually using it currently for the show. We've been using it for about 3 weeks. And Drew, thank you so much for contacting Meebo and getting them touched with us.
It's pleasure. I love this thing. I use it at work all the time. It's an aggregator, so if you're one of those people like me that has an instant messenger account with AOL, from AIM, if you have one with Yahoo, if you got one with MSN or Gmail, you can put them all in one place. But the magic of Meebo is it happens in a browser. So anytime you're on a computer anywhere, it doesn't have to be your computer. You can open up Meebo.com, log in, and pow, there's all your instant messaging friends in one place.
It's one of those products, again, that I don't know how they make their money yet, because I guess on the chatting system there's a video that plays, but in general there's not another ads.
It's a startup in the Bay Area, but it's a bunch of clever people, and I like their attitude, I like their website, and I really like what the product does for me at work, and also for us here. We found a really intelligent use at GeekSpeak. Yeah.
So next week, all about instant messaging. Instant messaging, the technology, why people use it, the communication medium, and of course with the creators of Meebo on. So Patrick, I think we've given away all your copies. I'm not totally sure about that, but if we haven't given all of them away, I'll take one home with me. We do have a call though. All right, so that's a good call from Santa Cruz. Tom, welcome to GeekSpeak. What's your question today? Hello, Tom. Welcome to GeekSpeak.
Hi.
What's your question, sir?
I'm interested in being able to download ISBN numbers off the Internet. These are book numbers.
Uh-huh.
Oh, right.
I understand it's possible to do that by scanning the code on a book and then accessing the data off the Internet.
Are you in a Macintosh or a Windows machine?
Macintosh.
Okay. There's a product that I've seen that's just a full library catalog tool that allows you to do it, and it's called
Delicious.
Delicious. Thank you.
Very nice, Patrick.
Delicious Library.
Delicious Library. It's a paid-for application. It's an amazing app. I think it's really cool. You can use your iPhone, or your camera on your Mac to get a scan.
I've read a critical comment, though, that it's very, very slow once you get a few books into it.
Oh, I haven't heard that, and I haven't tried a lot of books because the trial restricts your amount of library, I think. I think you should give it a try and see how it goes. I know you can actually create multiple library files, so you could theoretically do your library by author title and have multiple files for different authors, something like that. That's one way to go. And I know there's open source solutions, and I think that sounds like a great show topic. I don't have other answers for you off the top of my head, but that you basically, the ISBN database, I don't know of a site that just has it listed, but you really need an application that kind of does the scan to data kind of thing.
Now, is this
thank you. I'll try it, but it sounded like something ought to be more generally available rather than...
I'd agree. Thank you, Tom, for the call.
I don't understand. Are you reading the barcode with your camera on your Mac?
Yeah.
Wow. Slick.
It's pretty cool. And there's some products on the Windows side too that do this. GeekSpeak is supported by a grant from Santa Cruz Electronics, offering an extensive selection of computer and electronic parts as well as support services. Santa Cruz Electronics is open daily at 2808 Soquel Avenue and online at santacruzelectronics.com. The geeks this morning were Ryder Brooks, Miles Elam, and Drew Meyer. Thank you, geeks, for being here today.
My pleasure.
Answering the phone, as is every week, is Rick Philman. Our guest, Patrick Nugent, product manager at Roxio for all of the DVD and CD authoring and video conversion tools for the Macintosh. GeekSpeak is a registered service mark of Online Tonight with David Lawrence and is used by permission. You just listened to another episode of GeekSpeak via our podcast. Would you do us a favor? please go to your favorite podcasting index site, whether it be iTunes, Dig.com, Odeo, or another site, and write a review or give us a vote to let others know what you think about GeekSpeak. Thanks, that'd really help us out. GeekSpeak is supported by PreownedCar.com, PreownedCar.com, where anyone can post their vehicle for sale or browse to purchase a pre-owned car from other car owners. More information available at PreownedCar.com. This is Lyle Troxell for KUSP. Thanks for listening.